Praise the Lord. Praise God. Our God is a mighty, mighty God, and He is worthy to be praised. No matter what the circumstances might be, no matter what life brings you, our God is worthy to be praised, and that will never change. Thank you for joining right now on this Sunday morning's live stream. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. This beautiful congregation, we have a healthy amount of people this morning. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I hope it's not just because it's Thanksgiving week. No. We're here because we want to worship the Lord. Praise God. And you are tuned in because you want to hear from the Lord. And may the Lord speak to you directly. May you hear His voice. Praise God. Let's start right away with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we worship You, Lord. We praise You and we bless Your holy name. Lord, first of all, we want to say thank You. Thank You, Lord, for all that You have done for us. Lord, things that we are fully aware of and then even other things that we're not. Thank You, Lord, for taking care of us, for sustaining us, for protecting us, for guarding us, for guiding us, for showing us the way, and everything else, Lord, in between. Lord, we have a thankful heart. And Lord, we love You. We love You so much. Be glorified, Lord, this morning. May You speak, Lord, to Your people on a one-on-one basis, Lord. May they hear You. May they see You and not me, Lord. We worship You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Last week, I started talking about faith. How about faith? How about that good old faith? And I would like to continue this morning to talk about faith, somewhat a continuation about what I spoke about last week. It's something that I've been wanting to talk to you for a little while, but the Lord was still working on me. He still had to show me a few things. And this is not going to be the end of it. Because my faith is going to grow, and my hopes is that your faith also will grow. Okay, we want to grow in the Lord, to be more mature. We want to go from glory to glory. We want to expand our faith in God. But now, before I start talking about this, I'm going to give you a small brief on what I will be talking about in the very near future. If God permits, potentially next Sunday morning, I might give you a little briefing right now what I'm going to talk about. I want to ask you this question. Think about this. And this has also to do with the future. Specifically, the future of BCFC, of you that's here right now, of you that's watching right now that could be part of this congregation. Where do you see yourself 6 months from now? Spiritually wise. I'm looking to have saved up $5,000 in the bank account 6 months from now. That's what I see myself passing. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm looking to have my car paid off 6 months from now. Or my house paid off. Or how about a year from now? 2020 is almost to a close. And many of us could agree that this has been the weirdest year of our lives, right? Just weird. Some people might call it crazy, whatever you want to call it. So we have another month to go, and then that's it. This entire year has been different, very different. And you've experienced it, you've gone through it, but now, 6 months from now, let's say from now till the summer, where do you see yourself spiritually? Now that you've gone through this COVID phase, per se. Or how about a year from now? A year until next Thanksgiving. Where will you be? Well, Pastor, I see myself continuing going to church just like I'm doing now. Okay. All right. I see myself stronger in the Lord, Pastor. All right. Great. I like the enthusiasm. I see myself growing. Yes, you're on the right path. But this is where I'm going with this. And I'm going to tie it into this morning message to a degree, because I'm not going to fully talk about this today. We all know that we serve a mighty God, yes? You know this. You know that our God is powerful. You have that knowledge. How? For reading your Bible. For me talking about it all the time. Or that one preacher on YouTube that talks about it and you respect them. You trust what they say. So therefore you know that we serve a powerful God. Or maybe you might have witnessed with your own eyes the hand of God working here in this place. You've witnessed it. So you know, right? But what good does your knowledge do if the power of God is not working in your life? It's an honest question. You know that the Lord can move mountains, and you know that the Lord can do all these great miraculous things, but yet you're not receiving God's blessings. You're not moving in the supernatural. Or maybe you are not where you want to be, spiritually wise. Why is it that certain men of God and women of God, or even faithful Christians, are very much blessed in certain areas and are not in others? Because they have not learned yet to expound on the will of God. They don't know the will of God. They don't know how to tap into the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of God. So therefore, they're strong in certain areas, but they lack in others. A lot of this has to do with knowledge, having the knowledge of God, knowing God's will. I was looking at this, I backed up a little bit, and I was analyzing things yesterday when I was in here, and I said, wow, for a while I talked about knowing God's will. I talked about it for two, three weeks, heavily for 2 weeks. Wouldn't we all love to know God's will? When we know God's will, our faith grows. But when we don't know God's will, we're lost, we're timid, we don't know what to do. And how now the Lord has me speaking about faith. Most likely I will go back to teaching you to discern God's perfect will. But now, when you know God's will, you automatically develop faith. You develop faith through trusting God, knowing His perfect will. And I want to share a statement with you this morning that is very profound. It's very simple and very profound, which is this. Biblical faith is action based on belief and trust in God. Very simple. I'm going to read it to you once again. Biblical faith is action. Your action based on belief and trust in God. And trust. Not trust on what somebody else tells you. Not trust on what you know, what you see, what you're familiar with. But on the contrary, on what you don't see, on what you don't feel. Actions based on belief on what the Word of God says. What God says about you, about me. This is biblical faith. So therefore, if you know and know and know and know, but your actions do not proceed, then you are not doing anything. You're on a standstill. God cannot be glorified. We have to do more. We have to act on it. I'm going to read to you a series of scriptures right now, back to back to back. First one is Romans 4:13. Where the promises that he would be the heir of the world has not to Abraham or to his seeds through the law, but this is the kicker here, but through the righteousness of faith. We are received through righteousness by faith. To righteousness by faith. Romans 5:1, please. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first great benefit enjoyed by those who are justified in Christ, to those who have accepted the Lord in their hearts, is peace with God. I have already talked about the feeling of peace. You know what peace feels like. You have been justified by faith. That alone took faith. When you accepted the Lord in your heart, when you decided to leave the past behind, when you decided to leave your old ways behind, you did that by faith. Think about it. You trusted. You believed. That alone is an act of faith. And when you did that, you received peace. That war is over. The hostilities is over. It's all has ceased. Through the work of Christ, all causes of enmity between our soul and God has been completely removed. We have been changed from foes, from enemies, to friends by the one miracle called grace. And here we go, speaking of grace, Romans 5:2. How do we have access to God's grace? Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Another verse right now, right away, 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we have dominion over your, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for joy, for by faith you stand. We stand firmly by faith. This morning we all stood. We all believed. We all declared. We acted upon it. We shouted it. We called it out. Right? We didn't do that just by formality. We didn't do that just to do. We did it by faith. Amen? Agree or disagree? If in case you decide to just get up by formality and just join the crowd, then we need to have a small chat after church. You just exercised your faith. You stand on the promises of God. You know because you know and you know, and now you acted on it. You acted. This is biblical faith. It's your actions. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Right? It's going to require some efforts on your part. Also, speaking of which, the Holy Spirit. Galatians 4:13, please. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That we might receive the promises, or the promise of the Holy Spirit through one avenue, and that is faith. Faith is tying a lot of things here together right now, folks. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about God's grace. We're talking about how we stand in the promises of God. All tied into this one special thing called faith. One final verse for you right now. Galatians 5:5, please. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. I will repeat what I said just a few minutes ago. Biblical faith is action based on belief and 100% full trust in God. And how do you trust God? How do you believe? By meditating on a set of scriptures that we just finished reading right now. There's a lady called Elizabeth Elliot. She once said this, God is, quote, God is God. Okay? Because he is God, he is worthy of my trust and obedience. I will find rest nowhere but in his holy will, a will that is unspeakably beyond my largest notions of what he is up to. Unquote. That's a pretty powerful statement. That is trust in God. Trusting in the Lord. And the Bible clearly states that God acts in behalf of those who wait on him. God never leaves us hanging. If we cannot trust in him, how is it that he can perform in our lives? How can we see the miracles of God, the promises of God in our lives if we don't wait upon the Lord and let him be God? Let him do what he does best, and that is be awesome. Wow us. Beyond our imagination, beyond what we ever expected. If we don't trust, if we don't wait on the Lord. Can I please have Isaiah 64:4, please? For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. Amen. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Never happened. Since the beginning of time. And things aren't going to change now. Our God of yesterday is the same God as today. Amen. Our God of 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, is the same as today. Amen. That will not change. Never, ever change. And the only way we can learn to do this, that faith that I'm talking about, is to trust God and believe that He is always working, always working to our best interest. When we know this, when we don't worry about this person or that person, this circumstance or that circumstance, and trust in God, your faith manifests right there. When we wait, we acknowledge His lordship in our lives. And our trusting faith itself becomes an act of genuine worship. Did you know that? You are in an act of worship when you wait upon God. This is a form of worship all on its own. We just don't worship God with our lips. When you're singing at home, when you are singing here to your God in church, when we are praising Him, and when we are honoring Him through our lips, through prayer, or whatever other means, a form of worship is trusting and waiting on your God. If in case you didn't know, the Bible is filled with promises for you and I. The Bible is filled with promises to the believer who trusts in God. And nothing is more encouraging or nurturing to our faith than reading and meditating on the promises of God. When I see what the Lord has done to this person in the Bible, how He did it, when I visualize it, when I imagine, when I let the Holy Spirit just grab my thoughts and take me for a ride, that boosts up my faith. And that also will boost up your faith. You see why I've been talking a lot about read your Bible, prayer time. Yes? That will nurture your faith. That will boost you up. The Bible clearly says faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. Doesn't it say that? In Romans chapter 10, 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is faith, folks. This is direct link to faith in growing your faith. You know, we all live in a day and age where the internet is prominent right now, right? And more than ever now, anyone is able to do what's called research. So you want to research a product, and you look up this product, and then let's say we use a search engine or an application, a website called Amazon, right? And then Amazon has this product, and then it's been reviewed by 2,000 people. And the combination of 2,000 people racked up 4.7 stars. Almost a perfect 5-star. And then if you're like myself, what you're going to do is you're probably just going to breeze through the first page and read what everybody said about it. right? So they're going to start saying, well, I got this in such and such a time, and it worked so very well, and I use it like this under these circumstances, and it worked out fine. I highly recommend it! ! Followed by another ! And then you get to the next guy, and it's all caps. This stuff is great, right? You're like, yes. So you start reading, and what happens? You act on it. You go and buy it. Why? Because you have faith in what you just read. And you expect that when you get that product, it's going to work beautifully, just like it did to that dude or that other dude. And most of the time it does, right? Like, yes, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Do you know what you just did? You just acted by faith. I'm not talking about it's like spiritual faith right now. I'm talking about the faith that God has placed in you, right? With your own mind, with your own judgment, with your own will. Now, let me flip things around for you. If there's the same competitive product on a different website or even on the same website that has no reviews whatsoever, would you buy it? Probably not. Why? Because you didn't read up about it. Right? Nobody had great things to say or bad things to say. So now, how are you going to judge the product? That's going to take genuine faith, true faith, on your behalf, right? But you rather read what somebody else went through. You rather read what somebody else's opinion was, because somewhere in the hopes of maybe finding someone who is in the same situation as you are, using it in the same way, you will have confidence on their statement. What do you think the Bible is? It's exactly that. I'm trying to make it as plain and simple to you. When we go and we read what the Lord has done in the life of this woman, in the life of this man, of this child, of this person and that person, the Lord is trying to give you confidence in Him. This is what I can do. And when we just know God's power, and when we just know how great He is, but we don't buy into it, but when we don't act on it, it becomes watered down. You're not doing yourself justice. You are not worshiping Him, trusting in Him, believing in Him, when you don't act on it. So therefore, how can your faith grow? We're still talking about faith. We're not backing away from that. How can your faith grow? You've had almost an entire year to expound on your faith. Almost an entire year. It's not here yet, but like right here. Right? But still a lot of people prefer to trust the words of the governor or BCC. What? CDC. Thank you, sister. I need a group of people to stand by right here. Just ready. Pastor. CDC. Thank you. That's how much attention I pay to them. No offense. I respect CDC. You know, you guys have a job to do. God bless you. I don't mean to go against the laws of the land. I'm not teaching people here to be rebels. Okay, let's get that straight. But nonetheless, stick with me here. When we meditate on the promises of God, when we meditate on the Word of God, your faith is automatically supposed to grow. When you believe and when you trust on what you read, And then, as a result, you act on it. But moving forward, faith is where the promises and work of God are made real on the lives of those that are redeemed to God. It is acting, folks. It is purely acting on the promises of God. And that is all. If you don't act on it, right? If you just laid back, if you're just comfortable, if you're just waiting for things to happen, you are not exercising your faith. The Apostle Paul reminds his readers that believers must not build their lives around things that have no eternal significance at all, rather than pursuing the things that the world pursues. A Christian shall focus on the eternal things that are unseen, eternal realities. The best choice we can make is to fix our hope on our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a living hope who never disappoint any of us at all. I don't care what you read here or what you read there. They were disappointed of that product or that product. You can trust God. Our Lord God will never disappoint you. Ever. Brother, do you have there Hebrews 11:1? Thank you. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A German by the name of Martin Luther said these words, quote, "Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Then it accepts the impossible, does without the indispensable, and bears the intolerable." That's action. That is faith. You could have the head knowledge. You can know the Bible from cover to cover. But if you don't bear the unbearable, it's dead. It's not faith. And head knowledge is just going to keep you right there if you don't act on it. I'm going to read that once again because when I read this, it hit me like a bag of bricks. Faith sees the invisible, as we just finished reading now in Hebrews 11:1. Again, quote, "Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Then it accepts the impossible, does without the indispensable, and bears the intolerable." Faith. Hebrews 10 says that the just shall live by faith. Yes? I opened up this series with Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by faith. And the just is referring to who? To you. To you that's watching right now. You are the just, the believer, who are justified by what? By faith. Through Christ. Yes. Through Christ. By faith. You have been justified by faith. You. Praise God. Romans 5:1, I don't think I have it on the list there, but it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." By faith, you have been justified. You've received it. You've got it. We as believers are to live by faith. In other words, maybe even your translation might say this, we walk by faith. not by sight. This is how we live. This is how we walk. This is how we carry ourselves. The word walk in the Bible often symbolizes the way that we live, the way that we act, the way that you are, the way that we conduct ourselves in certain ways. This is your life. This is who you are. And this is where the Spirit of the Lord is inviting you to exercise, is inviting you to grow, to expand, to expound, to whatever. Your faith walk. And it has reference to the fact that life is a journey. Life is a pilgrimage, and that the Christian is a person who is simply just traveling to another country. And so, to walk by faith is to live in the confident expectations of things that are to come. The people of this world are influenced by the things that they see. They are influenced by the things that they hear, that they touch. This is the people of this world. They live for the wealth. They live for power. They live for possessions, for the things which this world can give, can supply, can satisfy. But we are a peculiar people, aren't we? We're not from this world. I'm proud of that. Holy pride, right? I am proud to know that I'm out of this world. Oh, yes, I am. That's you and I. The Christian, you and I look beyond this world with a conviction that believes there is a better place, a greater place, mightier things, wonderful things. This is faith. I believe on it. The Word of God says it, I believe it, and I stand on it, and I look forward to it, and I get happy, and I rejoice every single time I think about it. I rejoice at the fact that I will be hosting all of y'all in my house one day. All y'all are invited, every single one of y'all. Amen. Bring a friend. Make sure you bring a friend. This is my faith, and I believed. And I have been justified by faith, and so have you. You have. You believe. You know. Now let's act on it, folks. Let's act on it. You know, this might sound a little harsh, but ignorance of faith is ignorance of God. I say this with love. Ignorance of faith is ignorance of God Himself. Please understand this. And may the Holy Spirit minister to you right now. As I say these words, I want you to think about it. God wants us to move in the supernatural. God wants us to be overcomers. The Bible clearly says that we will do greater things than He. Right? It's already done. It's already said. It's stapled. It's up there in heaven. You cannot deny it. But what good does it do if you just know the scripture, you have it memorized, right? But you do nothing about it. Because you don't want to. Because you're not comfortable doing it. Because you don't know how. You must activate your faith. And I'm trying to show you how. So believers, you know, believers manages all their judgments concerning good, their judgment on evil, not with reference to visible or temporary things, but to things that are invisible, to things that are eternal. They think visible things to be small value, because they pass away like a dream. But on the contrary, they account invisible things to be of very precious value, because they will never, ever pass away. They will never perish. So the apostle said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 18, please. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is where we pay our attention. This is where we pay our focus on. The things of this world is irrelevant. Everything that comes to this world doesn't really matter. Why pay attention to it? Why lose sleep over it? Why? This is not where God wants you to be. And therefore, the believer, they that walk by faith, do not desire the things that are which are seen. Neither are they the object of their pursuit. They set their affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Paul made it very clear in the book of Colossians, these words. Colossians 3:1, please. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Is it starting to make sense? What you should be paying your focus on, your attention, what you should be buying stocks on, invest on these stocks. They're good for the money. Oh, yes. The things that will never perish. So, Christians, regulate all their tempers and all their passions, all their desires, joys, and fears solely by this standard. The Christian who walks by faith. It could be anything. It could be the things that bother you, the things that make you frightened, the things that you are unsure of. Everything, good things, bad things, they base their standards on this. Looking up to our God, seeking those things which are from above. Why? Because that's where our Lord is, as the scripture says. They regulate all their thoughts and designs, all their words and all of their actions, so as to prepare them for that invisible and that eternal world in which they are going to be visiting very, very soon. They do not dwell, but only sojourn here, not looking upon the earth as their home, but only passing through to a better, much better world. Now, therefore, to walk by faith, folks, to walk by faith is to fear God more than man. That's to walk by faith. To a lot of us, many people, they rather obey who again? CDC. Thank you, sister. They rather obey man. They rather obey the words of someone else who rely upon what the scientists say, what the doctors are saying. This is not a message of condemnation, folks. It's not. I'm not condemning anyone here. But the walk of faith is to fear God way above the fear of man. This is the faith walk. If you want to understand it, if you want to pursue it, to obey the Bible, even when it conflicts with man's commandment. Even so. Last week, I talked about our fellow brothers and sisters overseas who are persecuted for the gospel, who decide that they will not obey the law of the land, but rather congregate in secret to worship God because they seek a higher authority, a higher power. They seek to grow. They foresee the impossible. And they don't care what the circumstances might be. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Help me out here, folks. Shadrach. Meshach. There we go. You know, this is the blessings and the joy of being bilingual. Trilingual, as a matter of fact. You know who I'm referring to. Please forgive me. That's all right. Are we live? We are live. You know this. Those three. Yeah, those three, like the sister said. Those three. I was thinking about this morning in the office. It's an hour before service, and I said, wow. And I'm trying to picture myself, and then I'm trying to bring that scenario to today's day and age. They had faith in God, didn't they? And how do you know that they had faith in God if you didn't read the end of the story? Because of their actions. Our God will deliver you from your hands, comma, O King. But even if our God will not deliver us from your hands, we will not bow down to your God. Amen. One can easily say it's a very easy preaching. It's like a layup. Right? One can easily say, well, that's faith. Yes, that's faith. But let's go beyond that. That's action. That is boldness. Oh, don't get me started on boldness. But that's faith in action at its finest. And then the Lord didn't all of a sudden, wow, that's great faith. That's boldness. They stood before the king, and they said, all of that? Whew. Let me deliver them right now. What am I waiting for? No. What happens next? They raise the heat. They dialed it up. Anybody that I know in today's day and age, they probably faint just by knowing that the heat was raised. Their knees would buckle. They couldn't walk. They'd be no good. The Bible says that the men thrown to them were consumed. That's how hot it was. And they went as far as being tossed inside. But they weren't burned. They didn't even smell like fire. They seen that other guy with them, lounging. Like the young kids would say these days, chilling, congregating. Having a jolly old time, praising, worshiping God. Walking around. You think they were just in that corner there like, oh, what is this? What's going on? No. They were walking around. They're probably running laps. They were probably checking the place out. I've never had a chance to see this one-on-one. Come on, folks. Let's put ourselves in that place. Something supernatural happened. I'm not here to preach about that particular incident, but think about it. Think about it for a moment. They're probably rejoicing. They're in there with somebody they've never seen before. They've been transformed to the supernatural right then and there because of their faith, because of their action. They became as the angel of God for that brief moment. And someone else who had no fear of the Lord, who did not know the God of Israel, saw that other guy, saw that fourth man, along with everybody else. And they were transformed, transfigured, trans everything. Why? Because they acted on it. This is their faith. The faith. So therefore I say, the walk of faith is to fear God more than man and act on it. To choose righteousness over sin, no matter what the cost. To trust God in every single circumstance. And to believe God rewards those who diligently seek Him, regardless of who says otherwise. Regardless of what is happening around you, your faith walk. Walking by faith means living life in light of eternal realities and consequences. It is living in the promises of God. To walk by faith requires that we tune our hearts to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to trust in the truth of His Word. John 16:13, please. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. I just spoke about this last week. Whatever the Holy Spirit puts in your heart, speaks to you, directs you, it's coming from above. Amen. From God the Father. They are united as one. Amen. But when we don't act on it, when we decide to trust our own instincts, our own will, our feelings, our emotions, what makes sense to us, how is it that He will be able to tell you of things to come if you are stuck in the present? The Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning, folks. Heed to the Word of God. Heed to the Spirit of God and the truth of His Word. When we base our lives in the truth of God's Word rather than the popular philosophy that is going around in our day right now, we are going against our natural inclinations. We choose to live according to what God reveals to us rather than trusting our own understanding and our own beliefs. Here's a very popular verse that I'm going to bring to your attention. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. This is what we do, folks. We trust in God. Trust Him with all that you have, with every single thing. And don't lean upon what your beliefs are. Don't lean upon what your emotions are saying. Don't let the mind games play with what you know you're supposed to be doing. And what you're supposed to be doing is trusting in God and work your faith. I was going to stop here, but I have a very nice quote that I want to share with you this morning. I want to get through this quote right now. Everybody heard of this guy named George Mueller? Pretty cool guy. Yeah, Englishman. He said this, which I thought it was very profound, and it helps us understand a little bit better. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. So simple and so profound. You know, I talk about it all the time. I elaborate it all the time. But when I read it like this, I was like, why, of course. Why make things so complicated? It's so simple. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. When you don't have anxiety, when you're not worrying or fearing, what are you having? Trust. You trust in something. Right? Let's keep belief for aside here for just a moment. You trust it. You wholeheartedly trust it. Therefore, then, you believe. And the Lord does not disappoint those who seek Him. When the storms of life tear your world apart, only God can put these pieces back together. And He can, and He will, because He has the perfect pattern and the perfect wholeness for your entire life. When one door closes, there is another one waiting to be opened for something even better. The best choice we can make is to fix our hope on our Lord Jesus Christ. And hope is a very healthy attitude. Very healthy attitude. Anticipating good brings comfort to the mind and the heart. Welcome whatever fits His will into your life instead of trying to fight it. And turn away from all that does not. Circumstances may change and they may shift, but God never does. He is a living hope and He never disappoints. He provides strength for the weak body, peace for an anxious mind, and comfort for the grieving heart. Pure faith is all about God's omniscient truth, not our limited knowledge. Has nothing to do with our know-how. As you can see, the Christian faith is not an emotional feeling. Our Christian faith has nothing to do with emotions. Not at all. It is believing in a God who is above every single circumstance and every single trial and every single error that occurs in our lives. Our faith is not in faith, but it is in a living and vibrant personal relationship with a risen Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. Faith is always steadfast and stable in times of storms. And you know what? Our faith is purified by tests. Our faith is purified by tests, folks. And now I ask you, are you going through a test right now in your life? Our faith is only as strong as the tests it survives. Right there. If in case you're wondering how, why? Why is this happening, Lord? Why did that happen? Why did this happen? We all can question this. But have you ever stopped and thought about, God is testing my faith right now. Let me kick it into gear. And move forward with that. In trusting God. In praising Him. In waiting on your Lord. That He has the best in mind for us. It is very easy to say, God is good. God is great when things are going well in our lives, isn't it? So easy. But what about the bad times? How about that? Is God still good? God allows our faith to be tested so we can see how strong we are, how strong our faith is. His purpose is to help you grow because He knows that untested faith is not valid faith and never amounts to much at all. Nothing if your faith is not tested. The enemy accused Job for following God only because God blessed his socks off. Right? You know the story? This is what he says. Well, he loves you, he follows you because you're constantly pampering him. This is what the enemy says. So God allowed one thing to happen, and what was that? Test Job. He wanted to reveal the motive behind Job's faith, to reveal whether or not Job would continue to follow God even after he had lost everything. Everything. Job was a rich man. He was loaded. He had respect in the city. Everybody knew him. He had a big family. He lost his family, all of his kids. He lost millions. Millions! In the matter of minutes, Job, just like that, including his family. You know the story. He lost everything. The testing of your faith occurs through circumstances which provide an opportunity for you to validate your belief in the promises of God that we talk about all the time, in the provisions of God, in the presence of God, in the protection of God in your life, and most importantly, in the power of God in your life. The power of God. And this is where I want to see our church grow. This is where I want to see you expand on. This is not just a one-man show, folks, or two or three or four-man show. We are the body of Christ. Sometimes I say things that make people feel uncomfortable. Sometimes I say things that make people upset. I will say this. We are not going to remain stagnant. And if it's the will of God for me to rattle you a little bit and shake you a little bit, and say certain things, may you heed to the voice of the Lord and not into your own understanding or what you think of this or what you might think of that, but what the Spirit of God is trying to say, because God wants us to have power, power in His might, one with God, to know His will, His perfect will in your life, and not just have book knowledge, head knowledge. We must act on it. We must believe. We must act on the faith that God has placed in you. Praise God. The testing of our faith serves not only to show the strength of our faith, but also to reveal the motive behind our faith. Praise God. That's biblical faith. Faith that trusts God, whether He blesses or not, whether He delivers or not, or whether He heals or not. That's faith, folks. That's faith. Understand this concept. I know I'm going a little bit past the hour right now. I said a whole lot of things right now. But think about this. Put this in your back pocket and take it with you. Don't let it sit here. Don't let it just remain in these four walls. I want you to leave out of this place, and you that's watching right now, think about these words right now. Biblical faith Faith that trusts God, whether He blesses or not, I'm going to trust Him. Whether He delivers me from the circumstances or not, I'm going to trust Him. And whether He heals me or not, I'm going to trust Him. Just like those three men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I got it right this time, didn't I? Praise God. This is faith, folks. We're still going to trust Him. Okay, we don't know sometimes our future, the plans of God, because we're still stuck right now in the present. We can't move forward because we're still dwelling in this. The Lord will deliver us, O King. But even if He doesn't, we will not. And you know the rest. Faith placed into action. And the Lord did not at that time deliver them miraculously. They were thrown in the pit. But there's greater glory to the name of God as that result. The impossible happened. The supernatural happened. Science cannot define it. Man cannot define it. When we act on it. When we trust in God and believe. Faith trusts our Lord no matter what. Because it knows that He has the words of eternal life. He has the words of eternal life. And has reaffirmed the same truth expressed by the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words in Philippians chapter 1, verses 6, which says this: being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Confidence in your God. Confidence in your Lord. So now, I'm going to bring it back to the beginning. What good does it do for you to just have this intense and deep Bible knowledge when we don't act on it? Act on your faith. You've read the 5-star reviews. You've seen what the Lord has done with your own eyes. Right. Let that kick in your faith. Kick in your belief. Every single one of us. I'm not saying that we're not going to have ups and downs. I'm not saying that we're not going to have troubles. Because we are. Our faith is going to be tested. My faith right now is being tested tremendously through this sign right down here. And I still believe we're still going forward. And even if it gets turned down by the judges, I'm still going to pursue it and I'm still going to believe, because something greater is going to happen. Because that little bit is not enough. Great and mighty things will happen in this place if we have faith. Faith binds all of this together. And we're not going to grow. We're not going to expand. The name of God is not going to be glorified. Our outreach won't have as a heavy impact if we don't act by faith alone. You have the 5-star reviews right there in front of you. It's the Word of God. And all these things could be backed up by history books, by science, the evidence of what's written in front of you. It's true. It's a living entity, the Word of God. And you know it. You know it. You know what it is. Let's act on it. Let's not just remain here. Let us grow and grow and grow in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen,
amen, church.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we know that you died on a cross for our sins. Lord, we know that we have already been healed. Lord, we know that we are overcomers. Now, Lord, I ask that you will teach everyone, Lord, listening to this message right now, to act on those promises. To trust, Lord, in you. Lord, you have given a measure of faith to every single one of us. Every single one of us, you've given a measure of faith. And you have all given us, Lord, your word. We know, Lord, what your word says. We know of you. We have seen, Lord, your miraculous hand move. Lord, may we act on it this morning. May we act on it, Lord. May we not just be comfortable. May we not just wait for things to just happen. But may we rather, Lord, wait on you. May we wait on you, Lord, with trust and confidence and knowing that you have greater and better things just around the corner, Lord. Lord, we worship you and we bless your holy name. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.